here at 8.06 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday, and back to reality for a lot of folks. This is, I would say, I mean, more of the New Year's resolution talk today, even though the first day of the new year was last week. But for folks, this is like observed the first new year day.
Yeah, and you do the resolutions for, what, 19 more days, and then you put it on hold for Mardi Gras, and then right back at, get started with Lent. Just restart your new year's resolution thing there, and then you should be good, and I'm sure you'll follow it all the way through the end of December.
All right, coming up this hour, of course, talking to you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Lots going on. We do want to get people that weren't talking about this last week, maybe still were in vacation mode. Of course, the big issue here internationally is the situation with Iran. After taking out Soleimani, the Iranian general who was in Iraq, they're meeting with terrorists that had led an attack on the U.S. embassy just a week before. Now the question is, you know, what will be the response from Iran? Well, you can say, you know, there's been a response from al-Shabaab. I don't know if they're directly coordinated on that one, the attack on U.S. Africa Command in Kenya. People are looking around, where would the Iranian strike? More on this, and let's reset the discussion here. Bob Constantini from Westwood One.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo appeared on all six major Sunday news programs to justify the killing of Qasem Soleimani, but he did not offer a specific reason for the need to do it now, even as he and the White House claim intelligence shows Soleimani was planning imminent attacks on American diplomats as well as troops. Iran announced it would no longer be part of the nuclear agreement that other countries involved were trying to hold together after President Trump took the U.S. out of it. On CNN's State of the Union, Pompeo going so far as to say war with Iran really starts with that agreement that international observers said Tehran was adhering to.
The previous administration left us in a terrible place with respect to the Islamic Republic of Iran. Team Obama appeased Iran, and it led to Shia militias with money.
With no major leaders of Congress notified ahead of time about the targeting of Soleimani, President Trump had a tweet on Sunday that he figures will do. Quote, "These media posts will serve as notification to the United States Congress that should Iran strike any U.S. person or target, the United States will quickly and fully strike back and perhaps in a disproportionate manner." End quote. On CBS's Face the Nation, Secretary Pompeo suggesting the Trump administration will not adhere to Iraq's parliament's order.
It is the United States that is prepared to help the Iraqi people get what it is they deserve and continue our mission there to take down terrorism.
President Trump is scoffing at Iraq's parliament's vote that American troops leave. Politicians there fear being caught in between the U.S. and Iran even before the killing of Qasem Soleimani at Baghdad's airport. Asked about it on Air Force One, the president threatened Iraq with sanctions. He told reporters, "So with Iraq, we've spent a lot of money in Iraq. I told you Iraq was the worst decision going into the Middle East. It was the worst decision ever made in the history of our country." Following the killing of Soleimani, with the unrest it is bringing, the president has ordered an additional 3,500 troops to the region. Bob Costantini, Washington.
That's right. 82nd Airborne and heading to Kuwait there, of course, on the borders of Iraq. And to give a little more insight, too, in the fact that the Iraqi parliament voted to remove U.S. troops from Iraq. Dalton came up with a story, I think a Wall Street Journal story this morning. This is pretty interesting, too. So you'll just hear, okay, the Iraqi parliament voted to remove the U.S. troops.
Right.
But how many were present?
So 167 lawmakers of the 328-member Iraqi parliament were there to vote. And the rest, obviously, abstained.
Barely a quorum.
Yeah, barely a quorum. But what they have there in Iraq is a Shia majority parliament. And if you look at Iran, they are 90% Shia Muslims in Iran, and they of course have a pretty heavy presence there in Iraq with whatever they tell the Shia Muslims there to do. And so happened
Iraq
here
is, okay, go ahead. Yeah, so
and according to the Wall Street Journal, they said that most of the Kurdish and Sunni lawmakers boycotted that parliament session yesterday where they voted on removing troops, U.S. troops from Iraq. And I guess a big part of that was that Kataib Hezbollah, and of Hezbollah, of course, is Iranian-backed. They apparently ordered all the members of the Iraqi parliament to attend and to vote on this. Now, even though the Kurdish and Sunni lawmakers, they condemned the U.S. attack that killed Soleimani, they didn't show up to vote to expel the U.S. troops, even with those orders from Hezbollah. And that's why you only see 167 of the lawmakers there to vote. And that was a majority of the parliament, which means it went through. But now we will see whether the leaders there in Iraq actually follow through and try to expel the U.S. troops.
How much control does Iran have of Iraq? Remember, I mean, these are countries that they warred the 1980s. I mean, I think 500,000 casualties in that Iran-Iraq war back in the early 80s. But now, it sounds like a couple things here from that story. Number one, there's a large contingent here of people in the parliament that are somewhat puppets. I mean, I'm asking how much of a puppet state is Iraq to Iran, because you have that going on. At the same time, you have the groups that abstained yesterday being threatened by Hezbollah, which is a terrorist group that's paid for by the Iranians, which is, in this case, would be their henchmen, right, mm-hmm. in Iraq. So Iraq has some people in their pocket already in the parliament and are threatening the other. That's the way I take that, threatening the others.
Yeah.
So when we'll hear things come from the Iraqi parliament or the Iraqi government, how much of that is the voice of the Iraqi people? How much of that is the voice of the Iranians through these elected officials in Iraq?
That's a huge question, because they obviously have a huge influence over Iraq right now. And as far as whether or how Iran will strike back after this killing, and we were talking about earlier the al-Shabaab killings over the weekend. And looking at al-Shabaab, using Wikipedia, and Wikipedia, pretty good source. Now, we've talked in the past, you can't 100% verify right. Wikipedia, but they've got really good fact checkers that look at that. And I don't see much mention of Iran backing al-Shabaab, according to the profile on Wikipedia, but maybe there was some sort of incentive there. But another question, you know, if we attributed the strike on the Iraqi Major General Soleimani because one American contractor was killed, if you have three Americans dead now here, what's our answer to al-Shabaab? Are we going
right.
to are we going to follow through with the same kind of litmus test there? You killed Americans, now we're going to kill somebody important to you. I don't know. It's already a powder keg, and we've seen a few more news stories pop up this weekend from that killing of Soleimani.
Well, they had the big funeral for Soleimani in Tehran. They said the streets were full of people and all that. And there's a danger when you have somebody like that you don't break apart the Iranian people, you galvanize them. At the same time, though, like I talked about last week, if you have a piece of intelligence that you can specifically strike this person, a high-profile asset, right, a big target here, and he's actively engaged with this group to do something else against Americans, what do you do? I mean, do you act on that intelligence? A little bit of this is what came up yesterday, like Bob Constantini was talking about. Mike Pompeo was, like, on every show that would have him mm-hmm. yesterday morning, which is all of them, talking about this. This from ABC's This Week, Secretary of State Pompeo's talking to George Stephanopoulos about this intelligence assessment. Let's roll that.
The intelligence assessment made clear that no action allowing Soleimani to continue his plotting and his planning, his terror campaign, created more risk.
More risk? We can finish the clip. I think we'll finish. Oh, well. more risk. There we go. So, I mean, you had a piece of intelligence said you could act now and take this guy out. Now, Iranians are threatening retribution. They're threatening that now they're going to start working on nuclear weapons. Did you believe that they had stopped beforehand? These are all questions that play into this. We'll talk about this with you when we get back at 343-0106. And yes, Kaepernick has commented now, too, so get ready. Right, 820 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, Monday style. Back to it, normal work week stuff. Tell you what, exciting news, too, for the Sullivan family. Maids return on Wednesday at our house.
Ooh, just yes. in time, too.
Yes,
right?
It's a big deal as we're trying to get everything back to normal here on a regular work week, school week, kids going back to school. And listen, I've been telling you about the maids since back in October when they started working at our house, and then during the holidays how important this was. Well, maybe this part of the New Year's resolution for you to get a clean house and get organized, and do that with the maids. Give yourself the gift of clean and the gift of time. Think about this. The clean house is ready for anybody to show up at any time. Looks great. You come home, you get that great fresh house feeling, and you got the time back that you're not vacuuming and dusting and wiping down baseboards and cleaning windows and doing all that. So give yourself the gift in 2020 of clean and, more importantly, the gift of time. Get a free estimate now from the maids. Very easy. Pick up the phone and call them at 344-6626. 344-6626, or you want to shoot me an email. I'll tell you more about the maids and get you that contact info right there. The maids, referred for a reason. Get that free estimate. 344-6626. All right, we'll grab some phone calls here in just a second. Y'all stand by, and some of these text messages. I do want to point this out, too, because I'm more interested in when somebody comments on something that's not predictable. Now, there's so many that in the Democrats and on the left that have come out against the president calling for that strike on Soleimani there in Iraq at the Baghdad airport. Caught my attention more, though, was Tucker Carlson, yeah. Right? So Tucker Carlson from Fox News, right? Tucker Carlson comes out and makes a comment here about his disagreement with that call.
Yeah,
so I think this stands out more to me.
Tucker Carlson on his show on Friday night after the news of Soleimani's killing, and we heard Mike Pompeo say the reasoning behind that strike on Soleimani, and Tucker Carlson came out against killing Soleimani. Mm-hmm. He was working off of Pompeo's claim that the strikes were because of threats in the region. And Carlson said, threats in the region? If you don't live in Washington, here's the translation. That would be in hostile Middle Eastern countries, places where American troops would never be in the first place were it not for the insistent demands of non-geniuses like Max Boot and John Bolton. And he said, but never mind, no one in Washington is in the mood for big picture questions right now. Questions, the obvious ones, like, is Iran really the greatest threat we face, and who is actually benefiting from this? He went on to rip Ben Sasse, who was a proponent of the strikes. Mm-hmm. He called Ben Sasse a chest beater and a, quote, very tough character who's making the usual warlike noises since the airstrikes. Carlson said Washington has wanted war with Iran for decades and referenced a poll that came out in August from Gallup that showed that only 18% of Americans backed military force to shut down Iran's nuclear program.
All right, so this is pretty interesting coming from Tucker Carlson. This is neat that you bring up a discussion here coming from somebody who's conservative and usually a supporter of President Trump. In this case, he is not. Of course, it's interesting that he chose to go after Ben Sasse and not President Trump.
Yeah.
Much others. He mentioned John Bolton and others.
He didn't
remember
mention
Bolton's
Trump by
out
name,
of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he didn't mention the president by name, which is the world we live in today. Because I mean, that call was made. I appreciate Tucker Carlson disagreeing. He should have specifically said, you know, respectfully, he disagrees with the call that President Trump made. Because that's true.
Yeah.
The president made that call. The what's next part of it, I think, and I hear what Tucker Carlson's saying, and you look at the realpolitik and the whole, you know, in the whole region, but you also have to say, if we believe that this is dealing with Iran at some level is going to happen at some point, do you wait till they have, you know, further capacity? I am somebody who has, like last week, said I agreed with the president's decision to make that strike on Soleimani. I'm also somebody who is not a proponent of going to war with Iran. I'm a proponent of backing out of that region. But there are things you can do. I mean, if they're actively killing Americans, do you believe, because this is also assuming that Iran realizes what a war with the United States would do to them. And I know they call death to America, and I know there's some fervent zealots there that would go to war over anything with America. But there are also some people in Iran that are a little more savvy than that, that wouldn't want to. They like to get the attention. They like to dominate the region. But they don't, you know, they don't fool themselves that in an all-out conflict with the United States that they would win.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't.
Right.
They would lose us. There are, I think, plenty of people in Iran that love their children and don't want to go into a war that would, you know, eliminate that. Now, you can find, yes, there are zealots out there in Iran that would, it doesn't matter, but there are regular folks there, too. So I think the idea that we strike Soleimani and that they're going to launch some full-out campaign against us, I don't think that's happening.
Well, yeah, if we could snap our fingers and all the killers in Iran, all the dictators there were just to be done with, and there were no civilian deaths or innocent deaths. I mean,
sure,
I think everyone could sign on for that. I mean, we've just seen in some of the recent wars of the past how many civilians die in these conflicts.
Absolutely,
and I think Iran also knows with the inherent political stability here in the U.S. Cause mm-hmm. you get a new president every 4 or 8 years, Congress, Senate, they're always switching from Democrat to Republican. You've got anti-war, you've got pro-war. I think they know that if they did get into a conflict that they could make it long and drawn out. I don't think this would be a quick war.
Right.
By any means, especially with all the different satellite camps they've set up across the Middle East. So I think they've kind of got that on their side, too. But as far as this actual strike, we're seeing in the media the same thing we saw from the Mueller report, same thing we've seen here recently with the reports from Ukraine. I know the New York Times and some other organizations say they've talked to high-ranking officials anonymously, and one New York Times reporter was saying that someone that knew about the intel that Pompeo and the president used as a basis to strike Soleimani at that time, that they were kind of saying the opposite, that there wasn't really much new information about American strikes that we've had for the last few years. So unless you actually have the verified intelligence that the high-ranking government officials have, I'm not sure how you can be 100% one way or the other that this was a good time to strike.
All right, so get your take on this thing. Coming up, the Kaepernick has chimed in.
Oh, yes.
Oh, and speaking of Kaepernick, too, the Congressman Bradley Byrne, candidate for Senate, has a new ad where he takes on Kaepernick and the squad. We'll get that going in just a second. James the Engineer in Mobile, first up. Hey, James.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. You know, I wanted to comment on this. You know, while you were talking, you know, y'all covered a lot of area there, and I wanted to mention something about what Doctor was last saying. You know, we have intelligence at such a high level. A lot of times we could make a strike. You know, we had a certain dictator here, and I ain't going to go into all this. He finally got caught. There was a clear shot for a cipher to take him out, but our higher ups stopped this. Now, going and talking about what you're saying about the people, there's no doubt the people probably in all third world countries are a lot just like Americans. A lot of people want their freedom to come and go, to do the things they want to do. It's the country, the higher-ups are the ones that mm-hmm. declare war and we go to war with. It is not usually the people. So, you know, I know the president knows this, and he would not proceed to do something where it would hurt the people intentionally. I'm sure that there's strikes that are made close to certain locations. I'm ex-military. I question, you know, because of the casualty probability with the civilians. But the bottom line is, we've been going through this thing where you would pay them off one way or another. It is almost like they know now. Capture somebody. You know, we have a captive person here or something else here. We'll get the Americans cut off some money. Well, what does that money do? Well, here we are. We're looking at them building a nuclear reactor. You ever take whoever the dictator might be, and we might even throw in there, I hate to say it like this, Rocket Man. We might get a dictator over there one day that's not really stable, and you've got nuclear capability. We have to make a judgment now and do things now to make sure that maybe that don't happen. There's nobody in the military wants to go to war, but somebody has to do it. Somebody has to go over there and shoot and kill somebody. You don't like to think about that, but the bottom line is we have to look at what we've seen in the past. We've had 12 hostages. They knew Reagan. Through the world, people knew Reagan. You know, he had a farm. He was a country boy. He'd get out there and chop wood in front of people, visitors and newsmen that come up. And they knew what kind of person he might be. It didn't take real long to get our hostages back when he got in the office. And that's what Donald Trump is establishing in my book right now. And I think that's what we have to look at.
Okay, and good thing. I would say the analogy on the farming thing, as much as I like farming, be bad because Jimmy Carter, who let that all go to pot, was also a farmer.
Right.
So, so I just want to just point that out. Appreciate the call, James. Good to hear from you. Happy New Year to you. Okay, here's one of the things going on here is Iran moving towards having nuclear weapons. That moves you into a new. That is the blood over the door. Right. That's why Kim Jong-un, let's just talk about frank things. And I'm the Patriot's Patriot, but we don't go invading countries that have nuclear weapons. Right.
Right.
It's why Gaddafi was working on this plan, all these, because if you have the nukes, then we don't regime change a John Bolton. You listen, we don't regime change out if you have nukes. That's why these countries, move to have the nukes, because they know that that will be They'll keep ground forces out of that country for sure. And so we're, can you ever prevent it? I did like some of the things we did back during the end of the Bush administration with like Stuxnet and putting, was that, or was that the first term of Obama, where we put the virus in the computers that were running their nuclear program? I love that espionage like that. I mean, you got to prevent it, but at what cost? All right, we'll talk about this when we get back. And yes, the Kaepernick quote and all straight ahead.
A36, this is FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Let's head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey, good morning. And a start to 2020. No better place to go out and get a new or pre-owned vehicle than McConnell Automotive. Tell us what's going on the lot today.
We got great incentives on all the new stuff coming down, looks like. Also, we got some great deals on some used cars, certified used, GM certified. Also, we're going to give away a few tickets to the bowl game tonight. It's going to be beautiful weather. We need to come out and support that. Come by and see Gene or I today in the used car building. I've got plenty of tickets. Don't have to test drive. Don't have to do something. Just come by and say hi to us, and we'll give you a couple of tickets.
All right. That's the way to do it. The Lending Tree Bowl tonight, and you guys have some tickets for those that want to come by. And the website, if someone wants to check out the vehicles before they head over to the lot?
Yeah, check us out at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141.
All right. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. You can go see him at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dauphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, our phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. I'd love to talk to you. For a lot of folks, this is back to, this is like the start of the new year for them today. Mm-hmm. Things getting back in.
Back to life, back to reality.
Man, we'll play that song. We'll get that for some bumper music. All right, Freddie in Mobile is up next. Hey, Freddie.
Sean, I'm in my early 80s right now in my lifetime.
Congratulations.
If the president would have two names on two more drums, how would you think the American people would react if he took out Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer?
What do you mean?
Well, like he did in Iran over the weekend.
Drones?
If he'd use them. Take those soupies out. How would you think the American people would react?
I think it would be poor. I mean, I'm sure there's somebody who'll text in or something, but you're talking about taking out fellow Americans with drones?
Yeah, but he
is that what you want to do?
He's been talking about these two people that got him up for impeachment. What if he hates them as much as he hates anybody else?
You think President Trump would take violent action using a drone against Pelosi and Schumer, is what you think?
Maybe he wouldn't have to do it with a drone. Maybe he'd get some of his friends to do it for him, Sean. This is the time we're living in, and I hate to say it. Wish you a happy New Year. And I continue to listen to that. You have a good day.
All right, Freddie, thank you.
You know, on the other side, I think it was George Lopez, comedian, that called.
Yes, did you see that?
What was it? He said he would kill the president,
so,
something like that?
And I don't have the story in front of me. I saw it when I was prepping this morning, but it was something to the effect of a news story had come out that had said something that the Iranians had put a bounty on President Trump's head or something like that, right?
Yeah, so Iran had put an $80 million bounty on anyone who would assassinate President Trump. And Lopez said, we'll do it for half.
There you go. Okay, so, Freddie, there's... So, on both sides of it, I would say I don't like any of that discussion either way.
No.
I mean, people get way too, like, Hatfield-McCoy about this stuff. I mean, you could debate it out, but, I mean, there's... Lopez would say that. That's classless.
Yeah. Totally classless, but also classless, anyone who's calling for the Democrats to be assassinated.
But is anybody calling for that?
I'm sure there are people.
Oh, I'm sure. That's true. Okay. In this world where we're linked through to everybody out there through social media, there's somebody out there. But is there anybody of any merit or just... And if, by the way, if they call for assassinations of anybody, I mean, first of all, George Lopez is going to get a visit from the Secret Service.
Knock, knock, knock.
You know, from the Secret Service. And the same would be true, I imagine, if you threaten a member of Congress. I don't know if it's on Secret Service's watch or FBI or something like that. Okay, come on. Come on, people. You're Americans.
Exactly. Yeah.
For a second, be American.
Yeah, be a family. Families argue. They don't call for assassination.
Oh, my gosh. It makes me ill. Makes me ill. I want to get this quote here, too. You got the quote from Kaepernick. He said, what is this?
Yeah, so Kaepernick weighing
Colin
in.
Kaepernick,
on,
right.
Colin Kaepernick, former San Francisco 49ers quarterback turned social justice warrior for kneeling on the sidelines prior to NFL games during the national anthem. And he was protesting then the police killings of black Americans.
Yes.
That was what he said he was protesting for. But since then, he's taken up a much larger space in the social justice, you know, fight,
right.
I guess you could say. And, of course, the president's he's talked about Kaepernick quite a bit also during his during his 4 years here. So Kaepernick tweeting about the Soleimani killing, there's nothing new about American terrorist attacks against black and brown people.
American terrorists, like the Americans or the terrorists.
Right.
Okay.
There's nothing new about American terrorist attacks against black and brown people for the expansion of American imperialism. And he follows that up with a tweet. This happened on Saturday. America has always sanctioned and besieged black and brown bodies, both at home and abroad. American militarism is the weapon wielded by American imperialism to enforce its policing and plundering of the non-white world. So he looks at this not on an attack of an enemy of the United States, Soleimani, who of course has killed plenty
of Americans,
of black and brown
Americans,
people,
yes.
and not just Americans.
And people in Iranians.
Right.
And other people in the Middle East, right?
Yeah, so he doesn't look at this as an attack on...
Let's not get facts into this. Go, okay.
On an enemy of the United States, but as an attack on someone with black or brown skin.
Right, so that's the point of the... Let's look at the... you see, the imperialism thing is interesting. Now, do I... In my anti-neoconness, do I see that we entangle ourselves in places that benefit us from oil? Sure. Sure we do. Those are places that happen to be in the Middle East, right? That's where they are. The Kaepernick says that it's the plan of the United States to attack people of black or brown skin,
mm-hmm.
right? So think about, I don't know, you want to talk about big military actions, for but World War II. Pretty big military action there.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like that was a move. And is it somewhat failed in this idea of regime change? Yeah, I've got a personal, and we can go round and round. The neocons can call and we can debate that in a fair way, and I'll respect your ability to argue and you'll respect mine and we'll do it. I do feel that this idea that we're going to go fix problems everywhere on the planet is been used too much. But is it straight imperialism and that we're picking people by their color of their skin? And the, he's holding Soleimani up to be some kind of victim here?
Mm-hmm. That's, that's ridiculous. And, you know, he's not the only high-profile voice that has voiced their displeasure for us going after Soleimani. But
now, you can do it. That's why I wanted to point out Tucker Carlson. Not everybody is in lockstep with the president. This is Tucker Carlson, a strong conservative, disagrees with this. It is okay. I'm sorry. There is this world where people think you can't disagree at all with the president. And I've, you know, continued to get myself in trouble over these last years because I do. I think there's sometimes you can disagree. And so, Tucker, that's why we pointed out. I didn't point out all the people on the left disagreeing with the president. I pointed out the one that made news to me, that Tucker Carlson disagreed with the decision. And I think that makes a good discussion because you can say, is it worth taking out Soleimani? You have actionable intelligence. And here's this bad guy. And you can take him out. He's getting ready to meet with the other terrorists that attacked the U.S. Embassy. Is it worth taking him out? Does it then get you into further trouble down the road with this issue? That's a debate, and that's a fair debate to have. But those that would just say it's wrong because it's President Trump, I don't listen to them as much as I listen to somebody who, and I may disagree with Tucker on this one, but it's a fair and interesting debate.
Yeah.
Right, let's go back to the phones, and Wayne in downtown Satsuma is up first. Hey, man.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Happy New
morning.
Year.
Happy New Year.
Look, great show, Sean, and I really appreciate your objectivity, you know, in regards to, you know, this latest controversy over President Trump. But it's amazing to me how many people all of a sudden are experts on the Middle East. I mean,
yes.
we've got millions of them now in the country. So, you know, I think it's pretty obvious to people that look at it objectively that they're just trying to use it as a tool to try to, you know, again, you know, just focus on something negative towards President Trump. And, you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, there are experts in you know, Middle East affairs, but even they disagree. So, you know, we really have to, you know, kind of take everything with a grain of salt when we hear all this information.
Right. Yeah, it depends on the sources. That's why I keep pointing out that it's just interesting. Not that I think Tucker knows everything either, but he's a smart guy. But he has a disagreement for, you know, in his case, it's about the policy and the outcome, not about the person. And that's what makes it an interesting debate to me. They're actually talking about the issue.
Well, you know, one thing that really bothers me, I think we're subjected to this constantly, is just because you stand up and scream and holler doesn't make you an expert in a particular area or field. And, you know, I think one example of that is last week on this very show, Quinn Hillier, not concerning this, but a totally different subject, made the comment that, you know, he had written three articles about it, therefore he had credibility. Well, guess what? He could have written three articles and been wrong every time. And that's what we run into with the way they cover major events now. You know, I hope that Quinn didn't get a coloring book for Christmas that's got spaceships in it, because tomorrow he'll be an astronaut.
We'll let Quinn answer this tomorrow, Wayne. We'll bring this up.
Okay, guys. Y'all right. Have a great one.
You too.
Thanks, Wayne.
Wayne checking in. Speaking of that, do we have time? Can I run the Ricky Gervais clip?
I think so. Okay, so he was hosting the Golden Globes last night, right?
Yes, hosting the Golden Globes. He here's his one minute of his opening here for the Golden Globes, which is where Hollywood pats itself on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so here's Ricky Gervais.
Time, who cares? Apple roared into the TV game with a morning show, a superb drama, yeah. A superb drama about the importance of dignity and doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China. So, well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you? So, if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So, if you win, right, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God. And so, it's already 3 hours long. Right, let's do the first award. The first award.
Less time in school than Greta Thunberg.
He let him have it last night.
I'm going to start saying Amazon. Amazon.
Amazon.
Amazon. I'm going to take this, what are my New Year's resolutions to start?
Disney
and Amazon. Ricky Gervais letting it rip at Golden Globes last night. Coming back to the phones next at 343-0106. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday. By the way, front page of our website, you can always get three big things, top news stories of the day, waiting for you. Also, the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question that will last for the next 2 hours. So, by the way, Bo, we put this up because on the text line, because Dalton, you said earlier you think Tua is going into the draft.
Yeah, I think he's entering the NFL draft.
Then I see people on the text line saying, no, he's going to stay at Alabama. So, here, make your vote known. What will quarterback Tua Tagovailoa announce today? You can either vote for staying at Alabama for a senior season, or entering the 2020 NFL draft. You vote online, front page of fmtalk1065.com. We'll tally these votes over the next couple of hours and roll this out and see who was right, because we'll find out at 11?
Yeah, 11. That's the scheduled press conference with Tua and head coach Nick Saban, and I don't think Nick Saban will be there to welcome him back for next season. I think he'll talk about all the great things the two has done for the university.
Okay, there's your call. Your call is he's gone. And, of course, you and Corey will discuss this at length during Sports Night tonight, starting at 6.
Yeah, we'll be live at Valentino's Italian Cuisine on Azalea Road, so come out and see us.
All right, so you want to hash all this over and talk about the final big game of I don't know, that Tiger Fest? We call it to all Tigers, LSU and Clemson.
And Death Valley Fest.
Yes.
Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah, they're both Death They are. Wow.
Copy each other.
Yeah, copycats. That's what they should be called. That game, that'll all be tonight at 6 o'clock. But Valentino's is on?
On Azalea Road right next to Michael Boulevard, that intersection there. So come see us and get some great food and talk some football.
Good deal. We'll see you out there tonight. All right, to the phones. And Chris in Mobile was first up. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Sean and crew. Happy New Year to y'all. Hope y'all had a great Christmas and everything.
You too.
Colin Kaepernick, boy, that his words, that's exactly why he'll never be back in the NFL, because he don't know how to shut up. And he just makes stupid remarks. It blows me away to even, I don't even do Twitter, but when y'all tell me something like that, it comes over, I'm like, that, I just shake my head, you know. And for Tua Tagovailoa, I really hope he goes back to the, I hope he goes to the NFL, and let's let Alabama pick up and start some new pieces and see what we can get done. I just think he's been a good quarterback, but mm-hmm. I think he's just prone to getting hurt. And I think that's just going to be the rest of his story, is getting hurt. I hate that. Yeah. I wish he would come back and play an awesome season. But I'm just so worried that he's prone to getting hurt. And then our whole season is going to be wrapped around him and a backup quarterback trying to figure this season out. And that's about all I got to say there about that.
All right, Chris. Well, I appreciate it, man. Happy New Year to you as well. I would hope. That, I mean, as a graduate and a fan of the University of Alabama, I would like to see Tua there, mm-hmm. you know, because I want to win football games. At the same time, I get it. God has given you a talent. It's time to get paid for said talent. And that is, you talk about some of these top quarterbacks making, what, $35 million mm-hmm. plus signing bonuses and all that. That's not only lifetime changing. If you invest it correct, it's family
right.
legacy changing kind of money.
Yeah, and I like that too.
And I hope these kids that have been blessed with this talent get that kind of money.
I like that Tua, when he said that he would make the decision, made that announcement, that he made no bones about it. He said it was a business decision that he would mull over with his family, and he also said he'd pray about it a lot. So,
and I believe that with that family. Yeah. A lot of people just say that. I think they probably did.
And right. he didn't, you know, just come out and say, well, it's an important decision, and act like money isn't playing a part in this, because
it's business.
There's a big loss of money if he doesn't go near the top of the draft. If he ends up falling towards the bottom of the draft or into the second round, it's a huge change in that life-changing money. So we'll see at 11 o'clock. He's got that press conference set up, and I think he's going. Chris thinks he's or wants him to go. We'll see. You can answer on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, vote online, front page of the website. But Dalton kind of said something this morning in between breaks, and we talked about it during the show as well, that because I don't have the wisdom he does on these football things, and you said not only is it the issue, I was just thinking Tua and his hip, and you said, but look at the class of quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. In other words, how many will be entering the draft in given years? This is a better year than next year to be a higher pick as a quarterback.
Yeah, because prior to this season, everyone assumed that Tua would be the number one, not just quarterback off the board, but probably the number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. It's just been a relatively weak quarterback class entering the NFL. Then Joe Burrow came along and changed that entire narrative. It looks like he's for sure going number one. But if Tua waits,
he's okay at a quarterback.
He's been pretty good this year. He's had a decent season. But if Tua waits until next year, if the hip limits him during Alabama's season, well, you've got Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson quarterback, probably Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback, both entering next year. Tua would have more competition amongst quarterbacks for one of those higher draft picks next year. That's part of the reason why I think he's going to go ahead and jump in this year. I think some NFL teams will be willing to take a chance on him, even with the uncertainty surrounding his hip injury.
See, that's why I listen to Dalton on these things. All right, coming up on Midday Mobile today, hour number one, we're going to start looking at, we'll talk more about this, the international issues, obviously, and any kind of breaking news and any kind of Tua news in the show. We'll get that going on. But we're also looking to the legislative session in Montgomery. Now, they return to Washington tomorrow. You've got the House and Senate back in, and we'll be talking about that. But it's just next month. that the new legislative session, the stuff closest to you here in Alabama, gets started. And a lot of pre-filed bills out there, things that are going to be discussion points coming up in February and March. We're going to talk some about those coming up today. And we start off in the first hour. Chip Brown, District 105, is going to join us. A lot to talk about with him and some legislation that could make a big difference here on the revolving door, it seems like, for criminals that, they're looking for this person. We already have 5 mug shots of that person. Then they're arrested again. He's got a plan to address that. We'll talk to him about that and a whole lot more coming up in the noon hour today. All right. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. I think Tua stays.
Ooh.